Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday night, and thanks so much for tuning in your show, Raising Expectations. We thank the Lord that you're with us tonight. We hope you're having good weather, and we hope God's blessed you so far in 2026. Wow, he's got things planned for us this year. So we're glad that you're with us tonight. As you know, we're a show that talks about what God can do in your life in ways that you probably could never guess. And we are believers that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born to die, that we might live. He gave his life on a cross and answers those two questions I still get asked every week. Why do we care about that? One, because we know that because he loves us and we put our faith in him, he walks with us every day and he sees the road where we can't see and he saves us before we fall in those big old holes sometimes and end up in situations we wish we weren't in. And not only that, everybody wants to know the answer to what happens when we die. So what's exciting is the fact that we know we have the answer. We know where we're going. We know who we'll be with. And we look forward with great anticipation to all he has in store for us. So again, thank you so much for tuning in to Raising Expectations. We're going to get right into the show tonight. It's 2026. It's amazing to me. And the more I look at what's going on in the world and see what's happening, it's just incredible. And we've got some dates coming up. They're going to be looking and addressing many of those points in the near future. Tonight, we've got a great program shared for us. They're ready to go. And we're going to be looking in just a few minutes at the subject, how we have a vision that restores our souls, and what is the vision that gives a peace that passes understanding? And that's going to be with Terry Werner in just a minute here. We're going to start, though, by making sure that you know everybody on the team. We've missed seeing you for a while. We've been out and about, as they say, back in North Dakota. So out and about and wondering what we're doing out here on the West Coast. If you'll follow with me, we're going to start with Dr. Paul Hall. You all know him there in Lompoc, California, just north of Santa Barbara. And Paul, how you doing out there?
We don't hear you, Paul.
Good to see you.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
but you had laryngitis there for a second.
I did. I was going to do this, but
you always wanted to be the mystery guest. I know that was it. So there we go. It's good to see you, brother. Dr. Hall is known all over the place. He's a retired pastor, but he never retires. He writes, he talks, he shares. Everybody who knows Paul Hall knows a life that's been blessed by God, and then all of a sudden find their life getting blessed by Paul because he walks with the Lord. He's blessed my life for many, many years. Good Lord, 55 years now is amazing since both of us are only about 40. But anyway, moving right along, Paul and I, if we're to go east, east from California, and we head back to the west, as far east as you can go to the south side of the East Coast, which would be the south, I guess, right, Ron? And if we go there to find two of our favorite people in the whole world in Dalton, Georgia, and that would be Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And Steph is there on the left, and Steph is a wonderful, godly woman. She's a counselor, helps people all over the place with what she writes and how she shares. Ladies go to her and get so encouraged by how she shares with them. She's a great mom. Boy, does she have a great couple of sons there, and kids, they tell you, they have a great, great family, and she's a great help. She has really done a good job training Dr. Thayer, her husband there. She's helped him to be all he can be, as then it was beaten going in the Army to get it. So sounds a lot better. But anyway, Craig, it's good to see you tonight, you guys. Craig is a surgeon. He's a missionary surgeon. They've done mission work together in areas around the world with medicine and sharing and just giving of their lives to people in a way that we get blessed each and every week as part of the RE team here. So you'll want to get a hold of these people. You'll see a little more if you go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You'll find the team on there. You'll see their pictures, their story. We're going to do some things on that in the near future here, but you'll be able to get a little insight on them. And there's a lot of stuff on there you can peruse through, many programs. You can go back and check the programs. We're going on 5 years now. So you'll want to avail this tool for you and you learn more about them. Craig, with Stephanie there, Craig just wrote his first book called Saved. And there it is. It's Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life. I love it. It's one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. Saved. Boy, that's a great title. So you'll want to read this, a copy of your own. You'll find it on their websites, on their emails, other places. And they'll explain about that. But that book, Saved, makes me get excited because in the littlest things of our lives, God does some of the greatest things that we could ever imagine. And all of a sudden we look back, they're not little anymore. They become wonderfully large as God blesses through those things. So thanks for that book. And thanks, Steph, for all the things that you do. And we're praying for everybody. I know George is not there this time, but tell your son that he can root for Indiana now. And that's straight from Melba to tell you that. So anyway, no, not really. They're pretty good. Yeah. So anyway, moving right along. If we come back. Yeah, I don't have one of those. Yeah. And don't forget this one while you're at it, folks. No, just a little side note there.
That game was intense. Yeah.
That was an incredible game, I tell you. Joe Montana returned. Go get him, Brock. Get on. He prays all the time. So, but going right along to one of the greatest football fans you'll ever meet there in the state of Texas. And my nose is growing and just hit the screen, but you're going to find it there. Ron Greer, Pastor Ron Greer, one of our favorite pastors in the state of Texas. And yes, I know, just a moment. So, I've repented my fib there. Anyway, Ron is with Man in the Mirror in Florida, but he's the director there. You'll find him on the website also, what he does there in helping men to find out what's going on in their lives in churches and see what God's doing in their lives, and quite often take things that seem to be a disaster at first, and God turns them into something spectacular as they follow him. Ron's a great encourager, just like Paul is, and Tank, and this group of people right in front of you right now, you all have shared with me so many times, are a great source of encouragement in your life and a great blessing. And so I just love these guys, and I'm Pastor Joe, you all know me. I'm the old guy that starts us off and gets us going. But in any event, it's a blessing to be with you each and every week. And gee, Paul, we're going on like pretty soon 5 years here, I think, now. And we're the greatest radio TV station there is. That's BBS Radio Television there in Houston, Texas, down there. So they're going to be rooting for Houston, but that's okay because they're good guys, too. So now tonight's show, that now that we've covered all the serious things in a very modest and very sincere and a very dedicated and stuffy way, that's never going to happen on this show, folks. But anyway, we're going to go now to our guest for tonight. Many of you know, you've been checking on this. Terry Werner is with us, coming all the way from Texas again, Ron, great state of Texas. And Terry, as you know, is a writer. She's a counselor. She is a PK. I really like that part of the story. When I realized that she was a PK, I said, I knew we liked this gal. But she's got a lot of things to share. She's a motivator. She builds people's lives. Her book, Train Wreck to Triumph, by Terry there, is a book that turns things like Tank has talked about. There have been difficulties in life, and all of a sudden you see not just a light at the end of the tunnel, but you burst through the other side and say, wow, look what God was doing all along. He turned that train wreck that I thought was going to be the end into a triumph that's going to carry me right through till I see him face to face. So there's a lot of cool things to learn in there. And so, Terry, we're glad you're with us tonight. And I know tonight she's coming back to us live and direct from Dallas area in Texas there, I think, and not far from Ron out in that area. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. He never comes and sees me. We never get coffee, and I drive right through his town all the time. So, but I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan. I am a Kansas City Chief fan, so that may be why we've not connected. I don't know.
Well,
I'm from Kansas City, living in Dallas, but from Kansas City. So that's my
We're
point.
done. Thanks for tuning in.
But I worked for a worked with for 20 years a member of the Raiders. I don't know if that helps me at all. So anyway, now the Raiders were playing Kansas City, and I was like, I'm glad I'm not in town. But I used to travel with Hall of Fame inductee and Spoke and et cetera. And so we got both sides of it, of the
Well, quite
tour.
frankly, they joke with me because I'm not a fan at all, even though I got all kinds of friends who are professional players and
Now we
fans.
have a lot to talk about. Now we have a
Right.
lot to talk about. And I've got my cough drops close, just so you all
Right.
know. I may need a hard line of Hall's cough drops in the middle of this
All
call. I've been sick. So it's exciting to be here. Thank you. I always look forward. Apologize about last week. I was under, way under the weather, way under. But God has healed and restored. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So when are we ready? You ready?
He's
You
got.
know what?
We're
We're
ready.
ready to go. And I love that idea of vision. We can do some restoring of souls, and folks get encouraged and strengthened as you look for 2026.
Terry, go right ahead and share, and then we'll all talk and share with you.
Okay. Well, great. I was thrilled to be able to I was asked to put to actually speak to vision for one of the political parties having a prayer meeting, devotional meeting. It's one that we would like most of us for for volunteers to work in. What are we going into this season? And the day they had me do it on my birthday, which was last week, and I wasn't planning on doing any speaking because of my voice, but God kind of prompted me to be able to do it. So we talked about vision, and the Lord woke me up early in the morning, as we know that happens a lot with all of us, right? 3 a.m. or it doesn't play, And so he said the word deep to me. And we may have talked about the word deep before, but I wanted to talk about what he brought forward in the word deep regarding to vision. So vision does so many things, and we're just going to talk super briefly about some things about vision, which you mean for me that's 28 minutes. But anyway, brief is not so brief, is in Habakkuk, where we talk about before we've talked about chapter 2:1, how so many people talk about write the vision, make it plain that all may run may read it. But we don't pay usually much attention to how do we create vision. It's not we just sit down and write a bunch of stuff and okay, you all go and we're going to market it. It is vision for our life that supports the overall corporate vision of the body. But it actually supports what God's doing in our life. So there's three basic steps to it. One is prepare, position, and promote. So prepare, and I'm going to kind of plagiarize here, but where it is in Habakkuk 2:1, basically, as I will stand myself upon my watch, I will set me. So he's setting himself upon a high tower that gives perspective and position. And I will wait for him, and I will ask him the question, and he will answer me. So he's positioned himself by setting himself aside. He first prepared himself, and I'm going to talk to you about preparing in a minute, but he positioned himself. He made a choice to position himself on a high tower. That high tower was his job, but it also gave perspective, a 360 major prophet perspective it gave him over what was in the past and what was in the future. Because unless we really can evaluate the current, many times we'll miss the future. We'll miss what God is saying today because we're not allowing it to prepare us for tomorrow. And so the preparation piece, and I work from this from my book, Train Wreck to Triumph, page 156 to about 159, if anybody has that. And it basically talks about what vision is and how forgiveness impacts our ability, our capacity, which is different, to have a vision, to have clarity about our vision. If we haven't forgiven what's in place, if we haven't forgiven what brought us here, what is in place now, I do not believe we have the capacity to move forward into a new place because we're not able to take the remnants of learning that we've acquired during that experience. And people say, I've heard a lot of motivational speakers say, oh, experience is what leads you. Experience is what you learn from. No, that's not true. Experience is not what you learn from unless you pay attention to it.
That's
That's why we see patterns and cycles and delusion and dysfunction, because we're doing the same things over and over, but we don't even know we're doing the same things over and over. Does that make sense to
Yes.
you? So forgiveness prepares. Why is vision so critical outside of the spiritual, obviously, is the heart vision and what God shows us. But why is vision so important to our brain? So sometimes I've kind of laughed with people in my background, that are all ministers. I don't know anybody who's not a minister almost, unless you're a motivational speaker. And we talk about how interesting it is that sometimes we do not really look at what is the similarities about life versus just a contrast. And sometimes we don't realize that there's a part to it that has to do with the brain. It's the heart and the spirit, but it also is the brain. And I think sometimes in Christendom, there has been a philosophy in the last decades, not today, in the last decades, where we viewed heart and spirit only, but actually acted like it was detached from the brain at some level, that the brain wasn't involved. Well, God created the brain too. And so when we have a vision, it's really interesting. I want to bring about a little bit of science we all may have already discussed is this, and then we'll open up, okay? Is when you create a vision, your brain actually is mandated to create physical networks that support the strategies, the collaboration that will give a place for the vision to become reality. Does that make sense? Because I can't say it again. That was once. I don't know if I can say it twice. Okay, get the recording. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sick. anyway, that we really do create, the brain is given the message by the heart, by the mind, to in the spirit to create a network. So I'm going to create this amount of whatever it is, ministry money, whatever it is. How am I going to create that? I'm going to create it through prayer, and God is a God of strategies, and God is going to give me strategies and structures in the brain that's going to come forward. Oh, these people have collaborative skills, have collaborative contrast. Don't look for people that have the same. You don't need you. You need somebody else. So look for somebody who has a little bit of a contrast in skills that they can support, but they're not you. Because who needs a bunch of us running around? We need more like other people as well to come and to be team, right? Of all we see here, you all bring such amazing components and skills and experiences, but you're not all the same. So sometimes our disallowance of anything dissimilar to us keeps us back. So that is true. The other part is true. If you spend for 15 minutes time in just envisioning through worship music, I like to do it through worship music, through Lord, what are you showing me? Show me the picture. Because when I see the picture, there's a part of me that is more connected to what he's saying. That's the vision, right? And so in that concept, when you do that, they actually say that the propensity for you to become ridden with one of the seven, I think is it 12 or 17, you would know, Craig, versions of dementia is greatly diminished. Think about that, because you're expanding your networks to envision, you're actually expanding your brain's capacity to not go in, but to go out, to expand. This is a matter of brain science. I didn't make this up. Caroline Leaf and other, Dr. Caroline Leaf and other people have, I've been allowed to put her information in my book. But this is one of the things. So forgiving, impacting vision, preparing, positioning, and then we promote who brings collaboration, how do we promote what part of what God is saying is for others, number one. Not everything he tells you is for public consumption, far be it from social media wizards to be able to figure out, okay? Not everything is meant for the public, but when that is meant for the public, it's to endorse, it's to inspire, and it's into influence and impact. So that is our role with the vision. Now, in the times of scripture, it's a little different. So I just want to go to one other piece and then we'll see what you think. Psalms 126:1 says, after the time of captivity had of the Zion had been returned again, that means they'd been there before, as we know. We were as them, I like to say as those, but we were as those them who dreamed again. So to really go forward in that time of restoration, vision changes how you participate, and your identity participates in that stage of what God is doing in your life. Today, what I do is totally different than what I did 30 years ago. I was a church designer. I coached pastors. I wasn't doing this. Never thought of writing a book. But the point being, then it went into a new season because the experiences of that. So we were as them who dreamed again. God woke me up one night and said, "You've stopped dreaming." I'm like, well, I think I'm dreaming. He says, like, no, you're not dreaming. I put a dream in your heart and you decided not to trust me with it. And so you are not participating, which at 3 in the morning, that's a lot to hear. Okay. Let's just say that's a lot to hear. Okay. I was just like, we could have gone way different here. No, not really. And so we're to dream. So what is a dream? A dream is what God puts in our heart, his plans for us. But what is a vision? A vision is a dream wrapped up in a plan. A dream without a plan is not a vision. It is a great idea. It is a dream, but it is not a vision until there's a plan. Who gives the plan? God gives the plan. So I want to open this up, and then next I want to go into what God said about going deep, because there's a lot of components, but I want to give you all a chance to give us all your feedback.
Yeah, another way of saying what you just said was a plan without action is a dream.
There you go. Yeah. But I
It's a
think you can have a
thought. It's a
passion without
thought.
a dream. Yeah. Well,
It's
you
a
can have a
thought,
plan.
but you have to put it
Right.
in action to make it.
Right. 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 And
Okay.
it's also, to your point, they say, from you would know more on this with your background, but I've heard that. My understanding is that the people that get a vision, they get a plan, but they don't take action, decisive action, can really feel a great deal of depression over a period of time because they haven't activated the vision. Do you agree with
Yeah,
that to a
and
point?
I've read Lee's book too. She's great
Good.
because she gives you all these science studies
Amazing.
and then cites chapter and verse about why that's
Oh,
true.
yeah. She changed my life when she married the scientific view of the Bible with the scripture, and how many thousands of brain scientists who were atheists did not believe in scripture when she married it, or she supported that their version of science, brain science, actually supported and confirmed scripture, or vice versa. All these thousands of scientists became Christians, became believers, because they got it then. And there's so much, the what is the neuroplasticity? And she talks about neurogenesis. Every morning your brain is changed. And Lamentations talking about, and his mercies are new every morning, how this all comes together. So anyway, it's a
So they
her
actually went
book is
back to the
a
original basis for science, it seems
right,
like.
exactly.
Science
Exactly.
came out
And
of the
so
scripture, and now they're getting back.
right,
Great. All
exactly.
right, praise
And so
God.
many, when I first wrote my book, so many preachers kind of gave me a little bit of pushback on, well, you're talking about brain science. It's all God, and I'm like, yeah, it is all God.
Amen.
Well,
Amen.
so
I think
anyway.
we get that mixed up. Well, we've been conditioned to that somehow
Yeah.
science is somehow separate from scripture, faith, and belief. And you go, no, you had to go back to the original scientists. They were all Christians and who wanted to explain the scripture in more detailed physical ways, the truth they knew from the Word of God. It just later got
Yes.
flipped around, become something different. But I'm glad to hear that. Praise God.
Yeah,
We're getting
it's
back.
amazing how much has happened. My book, her book, Dr. Leaf's book, I'll just say, is called Switch on Your Brain. And it basically, she has many books, but that's the one that I really hooked into, and that kind of thing. And she speaks with a South African slash different accent at a very warped, like a space machine level of speed. And you're like, wow, that was like a way fire hydrant. So I had to get the book, and it's all yellow and all this. And I've written her and talked to her husband and all this. But it is so powerful to know the power of vision. It wasn't just write the vision. It was, wow, how you get there. You know, my journals are filled of vision because in business, I just want to say this, in business, we talk about the emotional why. We don't talk about your why. People that don't really understand inspiration talk about the why. But if you take it deeper, you understand that the emotional why, the thing you connect with your heart, is the thing that drives you. Well, if you create a vision, inside the vision is the emotional why. If you get to your vision, you already got to your emotional why. So it's not a step-by-step process. It's actually ask for the vision, make it plain, ask the questions, position yourself to hear and to see clearly because of your forgiveness and because you've cleared the path and released. Then when you've released, you go forward to restoration. I really believe a keen vision brings restoration. It restores you from the past, it puts you into present, and it prepares you for the future. And when you journal about vision, I'm going to tell you the power is absolutely, it's like the vision is the square root of after you journal. The journaling of it takes it deep. I have journal questionnaires and coaching prompts in my book, right in this part. You go into what is this vision? What difference will it make? How will it accommodate support? And what access will it give me to what God plans for me? How can I participate? Who can I participate with? What is the purpose with the participation? And it grows and grows and grows, almost like those dartboards where you see the little circle and then it keeps growing, is that exponential growth to the vision. And you start seeing and feeling things more clearly because you're taking it deep. So God said the word for 2026 was deep. We are not going to be able to be at surface. 2025 was whang bang, thank you, man. We got all the stuff coming our way, and boy, we got change and we got all this stuff, which was great. Now we're going to pay, and I speak lightly on this, but I believe we pay a cost for it now. I believe that God is saying go deep. So when we look at here, what is happening, no matter in what area of life we're in, I'm not speaking just about a certain place. But I felt like God woke me up and said, it's time to go deep. And he's been dealing with me for a few years on this, but on a different kind of reference. So when you're at a pond or a lake, or you're even at the very shallow end of some of the seashore, you know, you'll have things that will seem to hold you back. You have the algae, you have the brush, you have the crazy things that people left. You have things holding you back. For no reason, but you're in the shallow end. You don't have that as much the deeper you go. You know, if you're not running into sharks and that kind of thing, which we'll leave that out of the picture for now. So we do have some sharks though out there, but anyway, is that we're in the shallow end. The more we push and we push, we get away, our feet get away from the entanglement of the distractions of the shallow end. Things seem magnified in the shallow end. You know, the tedious things seem large in the shallow end because there's no comparison, I guess. So just when you push yourself away, just push yourself away. When things come up, just like I'm going to do a dive and I'm going to go in the deep end. Am I a diver? No, I'm not a diver, but I can make it up. Okay. I love to body surf. So that's almost close. So you
Water.
can push. Yeah, there you go. It's water. It's wet. You can push yourself and even tell yourself in the spirit, in your emotions, even in your mind, you know what? This is happening, but I'm going to go deep. I'm going to go in the deep end because you know why? In the deep end, the things that distract me won't be, the tedious won't distract me. I'll have clarity. So just see yourself pushing away. I used to do, I'm a swimming pool person or a beach person. I push my way. I would go and I'd see that wave and I would try and get in that wave because I know when I'm sitting on the shore, there's nothing happening. I'm not going to go, oh, there's a great wave. I'm going to go run and get that wave now and catch that wave. No, that wave's gone. So getting into the participation of the deep. So when things happen, I'm going to go deep. I'm going to tell myself, legs don't fail me now. We're going deep. Because in the deep, I'm going to be unrestrained. I'm going to see things differently in certain bodies of water. Get in the right body of water for you. Now, I've never thought of that before. The Lord just brought it up to me, but be in the right water. Be with your people. What's about your people? You can trust your people. You know how your people are going to be. You know this is your body of water. So go in your body of water, in certain bodies of water, as you go deep, you see things clearly. You see things you never would have seen in the shallow end of the same body of water. You hear things differently. Your ears pick up different hearing. You hear things differently. Things that are said to you have revelatory information, just like the body of water I just said. That may mean different things for different people. But the thing is, when you hear something, you hear the layers of it. Boom, 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 boom. You hear the revelation of it. If we see only what's in the physical realm, we'll miss what God is doing in this hour, in this year. Because we won't be in the deep to the place where we can hear, we can see, we can feel the danger, we can feel where we're in victory. We can come to our vision from a place of victory, not disentangling, not trying to be undistracted. Distraction is the worst thing you can ever be, other than isolated, because distractions will eliminate your ability to hear for 28 minutes. You will not be able to focus or hear or be participant. So you miss the whole sermon gig, you miss the whole teaching, you miss the whole thing, you miss the whole dinner date, all of it, because the intention was not to be present, the intention was to avoid distraction.
Interesting.
And so coming to my husband and I, our favorite nights is we have a vision night. We're having more. We used to have a lot, and then we kind of slacked off. We got all our vision, so we thought you have to renew your vision. So we would have a vision meeting. We leave our phone in the car. Now I left my phone in the car. I was obedient. He did not leave his in the car because I didn't want him to, in case my dad called and somebody knew to get a hold of him. But all my clients couldn't reach me. And we sat and we turned to each other and we had a just nice steak and trout dinner, nice favorite dinner, nice favorite place, favorite people that we were present to. We talked about what is the vision we see. So the question is, if anything is possible, anything at all, what would you choose to be possible for you and Melva? For you, Ron, and your wife, I don't remember her name, I'm sorry. And for Stephanie and Craig, what and Paul, what would this vision be? If anything were possible, and we know scripture says all things are possible, right? So we can't say it's not possible and be really coherent about it. So, and genuine about it. So, if anything is possible, what is the one thing? Not all the things, what is the one thing you would choose to see take place in your life? And then ask yourself, when that takes place, what difference will it make? What will that mean to me, to my purpose, to who I am? And what level am I willing to participate in that vision? And with whom am I willing to play large? Who am I willing to play large in this vision, to collaborate, communicate, and coordinate? And that goes to calling. So that's the depth. So how does that speak to you?
Let's see. Let's close the dump truck for a second. Whoa. I guess the thing that spoke to me most was trying to be as simple as possible. So we need to have vision and maintain and to keep, and allow God to keep developing our vision for the future. I think the thing that stands out to me is you mentioned the Habakkuk 2, which is a great verse. What makes the verse even more poignant is chapter 1.
Right, true.
He has this complaint against God. He's so
He's
disgusted and blah, blah,
upset,
blah. And God reminds him of who he is and what he did. In other words, Habakkuk, let go of those things.
Right.
You're going to forgive the people. You're going to stop being angry at me. And once you let that go, then you can see the vision.
Amen.
And
And
it's
that's the
not until you,
preparation. Right,
yes, right. And I think, I think with a lot of us, most of us, it's regret. And I think regret is rooted in lack of forgiveness, on some level. That
Bitterness,
keeps,
maybe. Yeah.
yes, and it keeps people from having a vision more, past the next couple of weeks or so. So I think about the lack of the unforgiveness, right? And I'm reminded, Ephesians 2, I think, when he says that do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you've been sealed, right? So don't let there be any. So get rid of the malice and the bitterness and the rage and all the fighting and the gossiping. Get rid of all those things, right? Because if you're in unforgiveness, if you're still angry and still filled with anxiety and all things come along with lack of forgiveness, that you cannot have a vision. You cannot see. Why? Because you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, there's no vision.
Amen.
It's so if God is if you're grieving him and you're pulling yourself away, you cannot see what he's showing you. You cannot see what he's trying to where he's
And it's
trying to lead you.
attaching you to the past, to the
Yes.
very thing
Yeah.
you're trying to move away from.
Exactly. And so now you're filled with anxiety and stress, and then the physical ailments come from that, and you find yourself stagnant, walking around in circles in the same place, and then you become more angry and more blah blah blah, and we can't move forward. So I and I
So
know the
true.
last point, I think that the thing that I have to fight against is allowing the present circumstances of the culture we're in, the present de moral decline and collapse, guard my brain against that, right? I be very aware of it, make myself intricately understand what it is and how it's happening, but at the same time, maintain my vision, my view of who God is
That's
and
right.
what God has said. And if all else fails, I know for a fact he says it's going to happen, and this thing's going to be completely wiped away, and then I'm going to reestablish you in a new kingdom.
And
That's
that's the process. And
right.
that's the process. Yeah. Do you think it comes down, Ron, to trust, to being able? We're such change makers, all on this call. We want to change the world. We see things and we want to make a difference. God, and the reason I'm asking this is kind of redundant, is God said to me the other day that he said, "Do you trust me?"
Yes,
And I
absolutely.
said, And he said, "You do not trust me. Let me say it another way. I'm not going to ask you. You do not trust me." And I shared this on a Facebook post, and people said I should share it more. I have, for all my life, from time probably 15 years old, had a challenge trusting God and releasing outcome. I just felt he was so busy, I guess. And I really elevated myself. I fixed this, and obviously I didn't, but at all. But he really has brought forward the same challenge I've had all my life, which is now, I think, being resolved and being grown, and I'm trusting larger and more. When I was in Bible college, I'll tell you this real quickly, got burnt over one third of my body at seminary school. And I was bedridden, couldn't brush my hair, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't dress myself, couldn't do anything. And I was bedridden for 6 weeks, and God said, "Go to Psalms and Proverbs and read every single scripture and underline where it says, reverence and trust the Lord." And I did, and it changed my life for a minute or two, but I didn't It was so easy. I was the girl that was born with a plan. Okay, never mind, mom. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'm gonna grow my nails. I'm gonna grow my hair. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get a part-time job because I can't stand you fixing my hair. I'm gonna do all these things. I'm gonna take control of my childhood. Okay, you have one of me, and so that's always been a challenge. But now God is really showing me, you offend me when you don't trust me.
Yes, absolutely.
So now,
Absolutely.
to your point, exactly is what I'm saying is, I think it comes down to God, do I trust you to fix this
Yes.
world?
Absolutely.
Do I trust
Absolutely.
you to make sense of this?
Yes.
Because you know I can make
Absolutely.
sense of it. You know,
Right. I figured
my
out.
arrogance. So anyway,
We just had a men's retreat Saturday, and that's one of the very things we focused on with the guys there, is that it always comes down to whether I believe and trust God. And the distinction is, it's not whether you believe in God, it's that do you believe Him? Do you trust Him?
That's right.
And I think the root of I think the scripture would bear it out, right? The root of my lack of obedience, at the root of my lack of seeing and vision for the future, and my lack of walking in that, is my lack of trust of God. I'm not quite sure if He can do what He says He'll do. I'm not quite sure He's completely sovereign over, everything.
Or
I'm
is he
not quite
willing?
sure.
Is he willing to do what I'm believing?
Yes.
That to me is a
That,
challenge.
or even for me is I it's okay, this is what I'm believing Him to do, right? Do I trust Him to even do what He's going to do, no matter what it is I want? And can I, get in line with Him when He does it, if it's not where I think He's going?
That's true. That's true. Are we willing? We had a, I'll just say this, we had a, and I may have said it weeks ago, but we had a very large disappointment in our life that had to do with a home we were building and et cetera. Very, very large, had a lot of attention for blah, blah, all this stuff. And when it didn't come to pass, even though we already had everything there, contracts, everything, it was a heartbreaker. I mean, it was a heartbreaker. Oh my, probably 10 years I'd wanted this builder, this house, this thing, whatever. And one day I was just, and there was something else in business that happened that was just a gargantuan difficulty, just a rug pulled out from under kind of thing, all at one time, of course. And I was sitting there in the scripture in Psalms that says, "Be still and know I am God." God gave me that scripture over and over. And I said, "God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know whether to stand in faith for the word I feel I have, or am I being counter to faith if I pray your will?" And he said, "Pray my will." You could almost hear dummy. Anyway, I know God doesn't say dummy, but I'm just saying I kind of felt like there was something hanging out there. Maybe that part. And I said, "Are you?" He said, "Yes, pray." It's like, hello. Pray my God talks to me like I talk. It's like, hello. Pray my will. And now things have turned around, but not for that house, but for something that is very good for us. But my point being, that part of just praying his will and trusting that his will is that we accept. I mean, we have no options really, it's his will, but that release and that trust in his will began stage two of that journey on trust. So I don't know. I'm taking
Amen.
over here. Stephanie and Craig,
You're
Joe,
the
that's
host.
great.
It's okay. I mean, you're the guest.
That's
It's
good. Hey,
good.
it's my party. You should not have said
The
that.
standing on the beach building sandcastles
Yeah.
is not what God wants us to do. You're in a feeling of control of the world.
Yeah.
You're changing it magically into a castle. It's comfort, right? But he's asking you, like Ron said, to be obedient, which is an action. The trust is an action that you need to show your obedience and do something that's beyond what you think you could do. You're stepping above. And you have to be so obedient, like Abraham, to take Isaac, his son, up the mountain to kill him, right? So, and then the water, it's like you can be standing in the shallow end, or you can be standing where the waves are barely breaking, and you're still in control. You're standing on the ground. But when you're floating adrift, God, that's where he wants you, in the
That
coldest water, the darkest time.
hurt.
You know, it's so that you need to rely on him. And that is the only thing you have a source to rely on. And then you'll have, like you
Amen.
said, Terry, a better conversation. You'll hear things clearly because
Amen.
that's all you got.
Right.
I agree.
What do you think, Paul?
I think it's okay to build castles in the air. You just got to put a foundation under them.
Yeah.
I think castles in the air.
Leave it to Paul to bring that different slant.
I think we go circular in our lives. We start out as little children. We trust, you know, we believe because our parents said, well, they'll take care of us, and we do. And then we move into this vast darkness to where we don't. And then eventually we learn enough about God where we trust. And so we make this circuitous journey through our lives. You know, I hope my children trusted me because I always came through with what I told him I would do. And the only thing that would ever break that is for me to do otherwise. And so to have childlike faith is a I think it's a miraculous thing. Terry, I want to thank you for, you know, giving us a thought tonight about being held back because we're in the shallow end of the lake. You know, I think that's a rich illustration, and
Yes.
boy, just to
Thank
think
you.
about that. First time I stepped into the Pacific Ocean, growing up as a kid in the Midwest, and the seaweed wrapped around my legs, and I had no idea what had a hold of me. That was the first time I ever walked on water, because I wanted out, kind of thing like that. And sometimes I think God is that way to me. He's got a hold of me, and I don't know sometimes what it is, and then it's revealed, and it's okay. Last thing I want to say, I am a diver, a certified diver, and I've enjoyed those kind of things in the past. But I was snorkeling in the Caribbean and around a sailboat and just having a good little time and not paying a whole lot of attention. And I just kept paddling until all of a sudden I was over the deepest, darkest hole I have ever seen. And that was absolutely fear mongering, you know, in my brain and in my heart. I could feel everything revving up because I didn't know what was going to come up out of the deep. So
Oh my
here we are
goodness.
talking about God and deep, you know, and
Yikes.
Psalm 42, if I remember it, says deep calls to deep. And that deep calls to deep, if I've got a grip on that, it's where my deepest need for God meets the infinite depth of God, and what a difference that makes. So that's all I had to say. Thanks.
You know, Paul, that's what I tell people. Now, how many times in the Bible it says, like an angel visits, don't be afraid, right? Don't, or when God's, you know, speaking, don't be that moment, that's the exact analogy I give. If you've ever been like in Florida or someplace and you're swimming over a nice white sandy bottom and suddenly it drops into an abyss.
Right in there.
Everything you get,
Look,
that
I
is
have
the
been there.
expanse of God.
Yeah.
And that's only a small part of what he really is.
And
Yeah.
yes, and that
There's
ever
us.
lovable undertow.
There's
I got in
us.
an undertow one night
Yeah.
in the beach,
Oh.
at the big beach in Hawaii. And let me just say that I don't ever want to experience that again as long as I
Yes.
live in the undertow. And sometimes life can feel that way though, in the train wrecks and the trauma. But I want to give it over to you, Joe. But first I want to just say something real quickly. Thank you all for this call and the opportunity. I'm always just so honored. I want to tell you something that God kind of struck to my heart today is just this. In many times when I have received a great vision, this is for audience and that kind of thing, when you have received great vision, I've really been impressed to sow into that vision, to find good land that has, wherever I get the resource, wherever I get the information that comes forward, that flows from that source, then I feel the expansion of the transformation, because information is not transformation. And when that happens, I have been impressed to sow to give and nurture the roots that give forward that information. So if any of you that are starting this year in the audience, that you're starting this year and you appreciate what is coming forward, and you feel like there's one nugget every night that could be the thing that makes a difference for you for the entire year, for the entire decade we're in. So if that's you, I would just really suggest this is good soil. This is a good resource. And I know for myself that has made a difference to invest what I can, what I choose, what I feel into the soil, the seed that's going to bring the harvest in our lives many times needs nurturing that root system. So I'm just going to say, if God puts that on your heart or that's something you feel compelled to do, I have tested, I have vetted, and this is good soil. I just want to say that.
Amen. Amen. Boy, that's it. That's great stuff. You know, we get to thinking about this stuff. I think of, trust the Lord with all your heart, really, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, really. He shall direct your paths. What's that mean exactly? Okay, I remember when my son came to me once when he was little, and he goes, "Dad, I'm struggling, getting ready what I'm going to do in college someday." I said, "Okay, what are you doing? Is it going to be?" He said, "Is it better to figure it out or trust it through?" And figure it out. Well, I don't know. But sometimes, like you all have been saying tonight, you can't figure it out. But if you will trust it through, He will bring you to the place where you understand Him. There's nothing like the joy of feeling the hand of the Lord, actually just feeling it on you. You could feel Him so close, so much, and He lifts you out of that abyss or wherever. And but the answer to that, very simply, I think, folks, depends on you. And He's there. We just got to say, are you listening? He loves you. Have you figured that out yet? He's got a plan for you, and you look in your past and see where He's been there. I think so. Did He ever let you down? No, I guess He didn't. No, be honest with yourself. Did He ever let you down? No. He was in the midst of the storm, even though you thought you were under the boat. So this is exciting to hear about this. Terry, it's a great book you've got there, and what you've shared, sister, is just terrific. We love and appreciate you, part of our family team. And ladies and gentlemen, we just want you to
Thank
know
you.
you're so welcome. We just want you to follow Terry. You know the address there. It's also put that up for you this week. Go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and you'll find more. You can listen to this again. You can find when Terry's been with us, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can go there and follow the shows and follow the programs there. And also, if you get a chance there, Stephanie, 20 seconds. Tell us a word.
Yes,
Where's
we'll give 20 seconds.
No, 30. We're going to do
Just
30.
wasted two.
Now, I appreciated this so much. This actually was really personally something that I needed to hear. You
Yes.
talked about being in the shallow and how it seems to be so amplified sometimes. And if we can step back and go in the deep, there is a worship song called Oceans, and I love it because it talks about being in the deep and how you're dependent on the Lord. And I think it's just such a timely reminder because I'm also similar, Terry. It's easy to just do it on my own. But is that what I'm actually supposed to be doing? Normally the answer is no. I don't like that answer, but I know that it's not the answer.
It feels good to be busy. It feels good to be doing
Yeah.
it, I guess.
But he's
Thank
coming through.
you.
He's there for you. Thank you, Terry. Thanks, Steph.
Thank
That's
you.
great.
I thank you. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, Steph, we appreciate everything you do for us on the show, Steph. And Tank, thanks for being with us. Love you guys. Paul, good to see you up there. Doc in the middle.
Seeing
You're in the middle of my screen. Yeah. Ron, there's only one of you, bro. We love you, man. That's only one. Now, what are you going to say? So, if I ever go snorkeling, I'm going with all you guys. I wouldn't know who to be with when
not going.
that happens. You're not going. Okay.
Nope.
Spa. All right.
Stephanie,
Well,
spa day. Spa day,
yeah,
not dive
okay.
day. Not dive day. Spa day.
Well, just bring an inner tube, that way you can't go down. But,
Spa
ladies
day.
and gentlemen, we're blessed that you're with us tonight. It's so great to be loved by God. It's so wonderful to love God, and it's so incredible to know what we can expect when God loves us back, the things that will be coming, whether it's up or down, sideways, we know He's in it with us, and you're always going to come through because He walks, loves, and plans with and for you. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. Raising expectations. May every one of yours be raised this week. We'll see you again, same time, same state, same state. Actually, there's three states here, same place right here. BBS Radio. Look forward to seeing you. Pray for them, pray for us. We promise to pray for you. God bless you. See you next week.
Amen.
Thank you, Terry.
Bless you guys. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.